Hello and welcome to Encouraging Others and Loving Jesus. I'm your host, Kim Smith. This is episode 268. With what or whom are you most careful? Earlier this week, I would not win the careful award with my own body. So I was in a place I've never been, pulled up by the side of the road to drop somebody off, and I got out of the car in order to go get something out of the back seat area, and the pavement part was slightly higher than the part I was parked on. And for whatever odd reason, there was a little semicircle kind of like cut out or missing out of the road. So from what I can figure, I stepped out of the car to make the turnaround to go to the back, and my toe must have hit the lip of that pavement. And all I know is eventually about 15 feet down the road, I landed on my face and my body. It wasn't that I wasn't trying to be careful. It's just I wasn't being uber careful because, hey, I just getting out of my car and just going toward the back. Then the rest of the day, I was very careful. I was very careful with everything. Because number one, I didn't want to repeat a performance because I knew my body did not need that. And number two, I was just honestly just a bit thrown off by all that had occurred and just how much worse it could have been. And so as we look this week with what or whom are you most careful, I want you to think about that. Like, answer that question. That's your weekly assignment feature. How would you answer this question? With what or whom are you most careful? Because we're going to see a new character in our study today. We've talked about him a little bit, but not a lot so far. And that is King Jeroboam of Israel. And we're going to see that he was trying to be careful, but in my opinion, and as you hear me read this, as you read it together, I think you're going to agree, he was not careful with the right things. He was so concerned about making sure that he would win a popularity contest, but not at all concerned about being careful with what the Lord had told him and what the Lord had given to him. So let's just go ahead and jump in. So we're in 1 Kings 12, 25 through 33. But I do want to read just a couple of verses from 1 Kings 11. So when we were first introduced to Jeroboam, he's working in Solomon, King Solomon's kingdom, and he's doing a good job. And God sends a messenger to him and says that he's going to give Jeroboam 10 of the tribes of Israel for him to be over because Solomon is messed up and God is not going to allow Solomon's offspring to continue to rule over all of the 12 tribes. But he's not going to take them all from them, but Jeroboam will be over 10 of them. And then in verse 37, it says, "And I will place you on the throne of Israel, and you will rule over all that your heart desires." And then here's 38. Check this out because it's really important as we go into today's story. "If you listen to what I tell you and follow my ways and do whatever I consider to be right, and if you obey my decrees and commands, as my servant David did, then I will always be with you. I will establish an enduring dynasty for you, as I did for David, and I will give Israel to you." So as you listen to those words, what should have been the number one thing on Jeroboam's I need to be careful with list? That would be, I need to be careful to honor God, to follow all of his decrees and commands. And then the God of Jacob, the God of King David, the God of Israel has promised that he will give me an enduring dynasty just like he did David. But Jeroboam, just as many of us do, instead of being careful about the most important things, he got his eyes in another direction. And so let's look at Jeroboam in 1 Kings 12, 25 through 33. Jeroboam then built up the city of Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and it became his capital. Later he went and built up the town of Peniel. Jeroboam thought to himself, unless I am careful, hence where I got this title from today, unless I am careful, the kingdom will return to the dynasty of David. From what we had just read in 1 Kings 11, what is the only way that Jeroboam is not going to remain in power and or his descendants? It's if he doesn't obey the decrees and commands of the Lord God of Israel. But listen to this. Unless I'm careful, the kingdom will return to the dynasty of David. When these people go to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices at the temple of the Lord, they will again give their allegiance to King Rehoboam of Judah. They will kill me and make him their king instead. So a reminder from the last few lessons, King Rehoboam is Solomon's son. And he received what usually is said to be one of the tribes of Israel, that being Judah, because every time you hear it referred to, you just hear Judah. But Benjamin was in that lot. So he's really got two of the tribes of Israel, and Jeroboam is over 10 of them. But you can see from this, what is it that Jeroboam is being careful about? Instead of being careful about Instead of being careful to honor the commands and decrees of the Lord God of Israel, what he's careful of is he's looking at public opinion and trying to figure out, how do I possibly keep the people from Israel from crossing over and going back to the kingdom of Solomon's family? He doesn't have his eyes in the right place. Obviously, when I fell earlier this week, I didn't have my eyes in the right place. Never in my wildest dreams would I have even thought that I needed to look down. I guess I thought I was getting out on solid ground and I was going to continue on solid ground. And I got a rude awakening. We're going to see that Jeroboam is going to walk himself into a rude awakening, because instead of being careful about what God says and trusting that God would make his leadership strong and that the 10 tribes would remain under Jeroboam, Jeroboam instead is more focused on what are the people thinking and how in the world can I keep them? So he's so focused on me, instead of on the Lord God of Israel and what he was able to do. So 28, it says, so on the advice of his counselors, the king made 2 gold calves. Remember that. He said to the people, it is too much trouble for you to worship in Jerusalem. Look, Israel, there are gods who brought you out of Egypt. These are the gods that brought you out of Egypt. Really? Seriously? Okay, keep going. He placed these calf idols in Bethel and in Dan at either end of his kingdom. But this became a great sin, for the people worshiped the idols, traveling as far north as Dan to worship the one there. Jeroboam also erected buildings at the pagan shrines and ordained priests from the common people, those who were not from the priestly tribe of Levi. And Jeroboam instituted a religious festival in Bethel, held on the 15th day of the 8th month, in imitation of the annual festival of shelters in Judah. There at Bethel, he himself offered sacrifices to the calves he had made, and he appointed priests for the pagan shrines he had made. Also on the 15th day of the 8th month, a day that he himself had designated, Jeroboam offered sacrifices on the altar at Bethel. He instituted a religious festival for Israel, and he went up to the altar to burn incense. So what was Jeroboam careful about? It was not honoring the Lord by obeying all of his decrees and commands and then trusting God would take care of the rest. Instead, what Jeroboam was focused on was, how do I keep the people from my tribes from having to go back to Jerusalem to worship at the temple? I know, I'm going to set up two golden calves. That should ring. That should sound familiar to you, even if you haven't studied this particular passage. But when in the Old Testament have we talked about a golden calf before? Do you remember? We haven't talked about it on this podcast, but one of the most famous stories in all of the Old Testament is when Moses is up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments, and Aaron, his brother, is left in charge of the people, and the natives get restless. And so they think that they keep saying, I don't know if they really believed it, that Moses really is not going to come back, and Aaron panics. And Aaron has them give him their jewelry, and he has a golden calf made for them to worship. And one of the funniest, most ridiculous statements in all of Scripture is when Moses is furious, and rightfully so, when he gets back down the mountain, and Aaron tries to say, oh, I threw all of that into the fire and out came a calf. Still one of the most ludicrous things, but we don't always think straight whenever we are in the midst of sin, do we? Same thing for Jeroboam here. So he has set up two gold calves, one in Bethel, one in Dan. So if you look at the territory of the 10 tribes of Israel that he was in charge of, he was strategically putting these altars, these pagan shrines, at two spots that would make it most convenient for those in Israel to go and to worship at those sites so that they did not have to make the long journey to Jerusalem. He wasn't concerned about that at all. He didn't want them to leave the territory because he felt like if they left the territory, they would not come back to him. And you can see that he worshiped these golden idols himself. And it gets really ugly. I mean, it's not going to get any better, but because Jeroboam never was committed to the Lord God of Israel. I mean, he just wasn't. He was never careful about obeying his decrees and commands. And I just want you to think about, yes, Lord willing, you are not going to be setting up golden calf idols. But today, like just looking at your schedule today, what relationship have you been most careful with? Is it your relationship with the Lord? Is it your relationship with your spouse? Is it the relationship with your children, your parents, your coworkers? Like, which one have you guarded the most? Or it may not be a relationship as much as it is your possessions. Like, which one are you intent that is not going to leave your sight because you've got to make sure that you hold on to it? Sometimes we hold on to things more than we do relationships. But either way, this passage is a reminder that Jeroboam was told by the Lord's messenger, if you do A and B, then I'm going to take care of everything else. And And God just reminded me as I was talking a moment ago of the passage in Matthew 6:33, to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things. And if you look back to all these things, it's all the everyday things that we need. And so it's seek first the kingdom of God and all these things. Like everything that you need will be given to you if you will just seek first God and his kingdom and his purposes. And that's pretty much what Jeroboam was told to do. But instead of being careful to follow the commands of the Lord, he was much more concerned about what do the people think, and I've got to hold on to them. Instead of holding on to God with everything and trusting that God would be able to hold on to the people. Sometimes we hold on to human relationships. That's what we're careful with. Like, we feel like I can't possibly live without this person. We may not set up golden calves, but if that is the case, we have set up an idol that is hindering us from following the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. As I sit here and I just think about all the ways that we are not careful, not most careful with our relationship with God, does he get the best of your time? Does he get the best of your energy? Do you set aside time to spend with him? Are you careful with how you approach him? Are you careful in how you speak of him to others? Do you handle him so, like with kid gloves? Because this is the most important relationship that you have. Or does he get your leftovers? Oh, I'll set aside some time in a few weeks when things settle down. Or I'll go to church on Easter or Christmas. Or, yeah, well, I'll reach out to him if I can't handle things on my own. That is not the relationship that God wants from us and for us, because he loves us and he knows that if we cherish him, he will give us what our heart truly desires. But if we are only looking out for and feeling, in this case, Jeroboam was feeling insecure, and he had zero reason to feel insecure because the God who had given him the throne had promised to keep him at the throne if he would just obey. But he chose to take his eyes off of God and in his insecurity try to do what he could to keep the people from leaving. And as a result, what seemed like a simple measure turned out to be pagan worship on steroids at both of those locations. And it just gets uglier as we go along. So thank you so much for tuning in. Again, ask yourself that question, with what or whom am I most careful? What is your answer to that? So down below, and you will see a link to how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can also reach out to me at encouragingothersandlovingjesus@gmail.com. I've got the resources there. Have the QR code at the bottom to all 268 episodes of the podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for sharing with others. We've got our Facebook group. We've got our other social media where I post a lot of Bible verses. But in the Facebook group, I do give a post each week, just letting you know that the podcast has dropped. It really drops at this point every Sunday morning. probably, I officially drop it at 3 a.m., but it probably makes it to Apple and the other podcast platforms somewhere within an hour or two. I don't get up on Sunday morning to see. I just know that it's there whenever I first look. But it's free for you to listen to and free for you to share. So take advantage of that opportunity, because I'm just going to continue to try to encourage you. Number one, encourage you to get in God's Word. This is like an appetizer. I'm not trying to deep dive into Scripture. I'm trying to give you kind of a snapshot and an application point, and then encourage you to dig deeper into God's Word. I would love to hear from you as to how I could pray for you, how God is working in your life, a way that I could encourage you. Like, reach out to me, encouragingothersandlovingjesus@gmail.com. And just remember, it's always a trust and obey kind of day.